Bonney, regular meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee, members present are myself, Chairman Barr, Representative Copeland, Representative Hanley, Representative Boucher, Representative Davis, and I believe Representative Pierce, she was here, she just stepped out for a moment. Has everyone who wishes to testify signed up today? We're going statewide on a teleconference to take testimony from other who are interested in these bills. We have four bills scheduled today. House Bill 5, House Bill 57, which deal with asbestos. Those bills will be held over until Wednesday. Or if possible, if we have any time at the end of today's meeting, we'll address those bills. Two bills we have on statewide teleconference, House Bill 130, collective bargaining of educational employees, and House Bill 90. House Bill 130, enact related educational employees collective bargaining agreements and providing for an effective date. House Bill 90, enact relating to labor relations between school boards and public employers and their employees. We'll go to statewide teleconference and welcome the other sites, and then we'll begin the testimony. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome the participants and observers at the statewide teleconference sites who are interested today in the two bills before the House Labor and Commerce Committee, House Bill 90 and House Bill 130. I'd like to begin the testimony today with Robert Bacolas from the Department of Labor.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Robert J. Bacolas. I'm the Director of Labor Standards and Safety for the state of Alaska. I also act in the capacity of Chairman of the Labor Department of Labor Labor Relations Agency. Under House Bill 90, the Department of Labor will act as a labor relations agency for 53 separate school districts involving approximately 4,400 non-certificated employees. The Wage and Hour component in the Labor Standards and Safety Division will be responsible for the investigation of representation petitions, determination of appropriate units for collective bargaining purposes, conducting elections, investigations of unfair labor practices, conducting preliminary hearings and formal hearings under the Administrative Procedures Act, mediation of labor disputes, strike actions, resolution of grievances, act as a mediation and conciliation service subsequent to impasse during collective bargaining negotiations. Also act as an arbitration tribunal for formal resolution of grievances pursuant to a collective bargaining agreement being entered into between school districts and labor organizations. There are a number of employee groups and labor organizations who have indicated that they are interested in organizing this sizable group of public employees. With the exception of the four larger school districts in the state, this being Juneau, Anchorage, Kenai, and Fairbanks, who have a loose organization, other districts are unorganized and unaffiliated. However, even for the larger districts, it would be necessary for the Labor Relations Agency to determine community of interest groups and undoubtedly hold representation elections and respond to unfair labor practice charges, etc. Other states which have enacted peer-type laws and cover this class of employees have advised the department that during the first few years the laws were in effect, management or employer representatives of 50% of the affected school districts filed unfair labor practices charges each year, which resulted in hearings before the Labor Relations Agency. The average hearing can last between 1 to 5 days. Assuming that the contract for approximately 26 of the Alaska school districts comes up for renegotiation each year, and that our experience would be comparable to that of other states, we can expect that 26 of the school districts would generate unfair labor practices requiring hearings before the Labor Relations Agency. The department received information that the four major school districts, Anchorage, Juneau, Kenai, and Fairbanks, have approximately 1,500 non-certificated employees. The rural areas of Alaska have approximately 3,000 non-certificated employees. School districts rely upon approximately 90% of state revenue to operate. In view of the current financial dilemma that most school districts find themselves faced with in terms of the uncertainty of state revenue, it is our belief that they will be adamantly opposed to enter into any multi-year contracts in the future and will insist on all future contracts being renewed on an annual basis. Moreover, that the majority, if not all, of the school districts will resist strenuously any pay raises or changes in working conditions will cost money. It is of our opinion that this will generate unfair labor practices by the employees' representatives who will claim that the district is not bargaining in good faith. This will require more hearings and more cost. We expect approximately 50% of the 53 school districts to be involved in employee organization in the first year. The department does not have the staff or financial resources to assume the expanded service inherent in this type of bill without the funding requested in the fiscal note. We respectfully submit that the following information be considered, which will explain how the department arrived at the manning and funding levels set forth in the fiscal note. Collective bargaining in the public sector is a complicated and unique field of labor law. This is a matter of record within the recorded activities of the State Labor Relations Agency, which has jurisdiction over state employees in addition to the University of Alaska. The combined personnel of the Labor Relations Board and the Division of Labor Relations with the Department of Administration far exceeds the number of requested by the Department of Labor to provide the same type and level of service to 53 school districts, including rural education attendance areas. In addition to the service to be provided as a result of this bill, there will continue to be an ongoing requirement to provide the same services to political subdivisions of the state which have already been organized or yet remain to be organized. The Wage and Hour Administration, which is the unit charged with the responsibility for labor relations, functions under the proposed revision to PIRA must also enforce the minimum wage, overtime, and child labor provisions of the State Wage and Hour Act, establish and enforce the prevailing wage rates and residential hire provisions of the state, Little Davis-Bacon Act, under Title 36, assist the Department of Commerce Division of Occupational Licensing, the licensing enforcement provisions of Title 818 for construction contractors, and establish the fee schedules for and regulate the activities of private employment agencies, the enforcement of wage payments and return transportation rights to migrant employees of the seafood processing industry, as well as the bonding requirements for licensing of fish processors and primary fish buyers. I am confident the committee will recognize that the Wage and Hour Administration component has significant experience in administering difficult programs with a minimum of personnel. The funding levels requested by the department in the fiscal note attached to the bill represents the minimum levels of services that our experience tells us is necessary to fulfill the intent of the proposed legislation. This level is in relation to the amount of activity expected within the first 2 years after the act is passed. The non-certificated employees of the school districts would have the right under Title 2340 to self-organize and form, join or assist the labor organization to bargain collectively through representatives of their own choosing, and engage in other protected concerted activities for the purpose of collective bargaining or other mutual aid and protection. The Department of Labor, Labor Relations Agency, has a responsibility under statute to decide in each case the unit appropriate for the purpose of collective bargaining based upon such factors as community of interest, wages, hours, and other working conditions of employees involved, the history of collective bargaining, and the desires of the employees. Our experience shows us that the average election spans a period of 2 months. This begins with the filing of a petition by a labor organization with the agency, which demonstrates a showing of a community of interest within an employee group to be represented. Under the current PIRA, which permits an opt-out from collective bargaining, we must first determine whether or not the employer has exercised his prerogative. If not, then the employer's records must be examined to determine the accuracy of the information listed in the petition and whether or not a showing of community of interest actually represents a minimum of 30% of the workforce required for an election to be conducted. Once a community of interest in an appropriate number has been verified, the petition is then posted for a period of 15 days to allow sufficient time for the employer or other interested persons to file objection to the conduct of an election or for intervention by other labor organizations. The 15 days during which a petition must be posted is used to respond to inquiries generated by the petition and to prepare ballots, mailers, and other documents required by the statute. After the 15 days posting period, there is a period of about 2 to 3 weeks when the agency must schedule hearings to resolve objections or challenges to the conduct of an election, clarify the community of interest, and make investigations into the right of an intervener to appear on a ballot. Once these issues have been addressed and resolved, the election can proceed. The notices for election are then posted setting the date of the election and whether or not the election will be by mail-in ballot or in person at a polling place designated by the agency. Our experience tells us that a minimum of 2 persons are required to conduct an election at the polling places to ensure that persons voting are so entitled, that there is no tampering with the secret ballot process.
Excuse me, Mr. Bacola, I hate to interrupt. Could we possibly get a copy of that testimony for the committee to look over? You're justifying the testimony, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I would prefer that we do that alone and stick during this meeting with your statement in support or against the bill. The justification for the fiscal note, we could go over on our own.
Okay, the Department of Labor supports the concept of extending collective bargaining to this group of public employees. However, this administration feels that the responsibility for administering the labor relations activities inherent in this bill should be placed at the local level. This could be affected by amendments to Title 14, similar to the provisions in Alaska Statutes 14.20.550 and AS 14.20.590.
Thank you very much. I'd like to extend the opportunity time for the sponsor of House Bill 90.
Thank you. I'm Neil Kopanen, representing District 21 in Fairbanks, and I have introduced this legislation, which is identical to legislation that was introduced in the last legislature, which bore no such fiscal note. I also noticed that the related legislation that encompasses a larger constituency has a much smaller fiscal note, but there are different ways of financing a department, I suppose. Now, the reason for this legislation is fairly simple. That was, you will notice in the material that accompanies this, that when the school district employees, school employees, were separated from public employees, and the school employees' teacher retirement system, the teachers' collective bargaining rights were set up, that particular act recognized certified employees only. So essentially, all of the people who worked for a school district were removed from public employees' retirement and public employees' collective bargaining act, but only the certified employees who are teachers, counselors, principals, and the like were put under any sort of recognized bargaining agreement. And some of the districts, as has been noted.
Excuse me, this is the moderator in Fairbanks, and we're not hearing anything.
Oh, dear. Sorry. You hear me now?
Yes, we're just now hearing
okay.
You.
Essentially, as I was saying, the people who were excluded were all of the so-called classified employees, that is the custodial people, clerical people, and the like in the district. Some districts, such as Fairbanks, Anchorage, Kenai, and Juneau, did recognize them for purposes of bargaining, but they did it out of their own belief in those districts that that was the best way to arrive at some sort of standard of wages and conditions. And even then, they are sort of outside of the law. It's neither forbidden nor necessarily allowed. So they have to depend on the political conditions obtaining in a given community at a given time. The intent of this legislation is to allow the bargaining to proceed at a local level, but forcing the school districts to agree to meet with whatever organization the classified employees as a group may decide to organize for the purpose of meeting with the school board or bargaining for wages and conditions. One of the things that this does is to remove it from the sort of political Tammany Hall thing that you see in some areas. I remember in Massachusetts especially, that's what they used to obtain. It also limits the arbitrary power of a school administration or school board by giving some recourse to the classified employees in this regard. I feel that at least in the beginning, we should see how local recognition of the right of organizing and bargaining collectively proceed before we get into the complexities of that were outlined in the fiscal note. That concludes my statement.
Thank you.
Certainly would, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to hear testimony in House Bill 130.
Otherwise, I think we're going to get into a real time problem.
Yes, I have. I would not have any objection to hearing both bills. As you notice, classified employees are also included in 130, however, in a slightly different category. But I hope that people don't testify for one and against the other, feeling that there's a necessary choice. For the purposes of, I would say, of the political process, I feel it is essential that House Bill 90 proceed, at least as far as the Rules Committee, and that 130 goes to the Senate. Because if 130, being the more controversial bill, hangs up in the Senate, I would like us to have 90 available for forward motion at that time. It's just a matter of the way legislation moves, but you don't, it would not necessarily be a good idea to combine the two at this time. Thank you.
Also, for those people here who are wishing to testify, there may not be enough time to hear everyone's testimony today, and so I intend to go to the teleconference sites first and take testimony from people at the teleconference sites. With that, I'd like to move to Anchorage. I'd like to point out to the record that Representative Collins joined us some time ago, and I neglected to mention that we now have a full committee. And with that, we'll go to Anchorage. Ms. Cuomo. Thank you. With that, we'll move to Soldotna, and I recognize several names since that's my district, and we'll begin with Daryl White. time, I'd like to go to Bob Brown.
Thank you, Representative Navarro. I am representing the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Classified Association. We have been together as a organized association since 1972. We had to go through a two-year court battle in order to gain recognition as the bargaining unit for the classified people in this district, which was won in 1974. This year, we're getting ready to go in negotiations, but it's been on a meet and confer basis, which was a change from our last negotiations that we had in 1983. We really feel that we need to have legal recognition as far as bargaining is concerned. I do agree with Representative Caponin on the political atmosphere being involved when it comes time for negotiations, and we have to deal with this. We've had to deal with it. We'll be going to our fourth negotiation, and we have to. Our first concern is what is the political atmosphere of the school board. And it has not been easy to deal with the situation on that basis. Over.
Thank you very much. I assume then that you are in favor of both bills.
We do favor 130 more than 190. But we need recognition, legal recognition, somehow, some way. We have 350 classified that we represent, and every negotiation is a big concern of what's going to happen. People are very concerned about their wages, their jobs, working conditions, and of course, this is the course of negotiations, you know. But if we feel that if we do have the right to negotiate, legal right to negotiate, this will tend to bring confidence within our membership and to the general public.
Thank you very much. Still in Soldotna, I'd like to hear testimony from Dr. Fred Pomeroy, a friend and the superintendent of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Dr. Pomeroy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will speak to House Bill 90 first and then make a couple of comments in regard to House Bill 130. The aspects of HB 90, which I believe present some concern for us, relate to Section C, which deals with the whole notion of right to strike. And if we understand this section correctly, this would allow that provision to employees when it is believed that the negotiations process is no longer productive. We fail to see where, in any stretch of the imagination, that can be in the best interest of the welfare of the public, and precisely as it relates to the welfare of the children of the state of Alaska, if, in fact, the instructional process is interrupted via the right to strike. That would end my comments in relation to that particular bill. In terms of House Bill 130, we probably would have more concerns with this measure. As we would understand the declaration, kind of the preamble under Section 142540, the Declaration of Policy, this bill, in effect, would mandate collective bargaining with all employee groups within the state. It would be our belief that we probably should not attempt to fix into the bill in terms of the whole notion of dealing with a labor relations agency. Here again, we would question the advisability of creating another agency, if you will. Understand in this bill, this would be through the Department of Administration that school districts would have to be working with to carry on the ongoing business of teaching boys and girls in the state. Does not seem to be productive from that standpoint. The final area that I would speak to is the whole notion of binding arbitration. I think that the record is clear in this regard, that probably only in one case out of the hundreds of agreements that have been negotiated between school boards and their employees has the process broken down to the point that a strike was necessary. It would not appear that binding arbitration is necessary likewise at this point. The current statute provides for the governor to appoint an advisory arbitrator to review issues and make recommendations when in fact impasse has occurred. This district has utilized that provision on different occasions. It has worked well. It has resolved the differences that existed at the table at that time, and we fail to see the merit in bringing a third party to the table then that in turn will be creating a binding solution upon those parties. We believe the current system is working well and don't see the necessity to change it. I believe that would conclude my remarks at this point, and thank you very much for the opportunity to participate.
Thank you, Dr. Pomeroy. Representative Hanley?
Dr. Pomeroy, I did have one question. Then, based on your initial review of both House Bill 90 and House Bill 130, would it be your impression that these would be necessary, or at the present time that neither of these would be necessary as far as your school district in Kenai is concerned?
At this point, I would not see that either bill would be necessary.
Thank you.
Deal any more than what we've got obligated to under our own people now. There's, you know, at one time we thought we were going to put out, I think, about 21% or thereabouts. It's down to about 7.5%, which is essentially what we have to put into retirement fund now for regular state employees. And it's part of the obligation that you have with the people that's on the railroad. It's just a lot like, you know, we allow teachers coming into the system in the state of Alaska. We allow a certain number of years, for example, of their past experience. It doesn't have anything to do with Alaska to be added to their time for retirement. We were in pretty sour shape there at first, though. Something like $160 million we were concerned with. We're not concerned with that now. We're looking at probably the upfront cost over the decade, somewhere in the vicinity that it will cost us. I'm picking figures out of the top of my head now on this last fiscal note we had. The thing will break even and won't cost us anything in 1989, is what our state people tell us. The ARTA people tell us 1987 will be the breakover point and won't cost us anything. I don't know whether that answers the question or not, but we're looking at what it's going to cost us out of our pocket. But ARTA says 1987, our state people say 1989. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is 1987. Until that time, we're looking this year, for example, the about $16 million we're having to add in on top of.
What do you likelihood that the legislature will appropriate adequate funds for the railroad to get up and operating. At the same time, simply say to the railroad, don't come back to the legislature for more money. You have your revenue source, you have what you need to get going, and go out and make money.
Well, I suspect that's what a lot would like to have us do, and just to put this money, for example, this $40 million we're looking at roughly right now, and say, go run it. That's good talk. But you've got to be practical about it. I think that we're going to be forced to, if we accept the railroad, to look at putting money into that railroad at least until 1989. Some certain sum. As each year goes by, we'll have less to go in, which I think is an increase. That's why I went into a little detail on what was coming out of the future operation of the railroad without even the extension study. This is why I mentioned all that data in the beginning, to let you know that things are going to be better for the railroad. I think that there's going to be a lot of grumbling, but I suspect that the money will be forthcoming, because I think that it is against operating. People will see and understand the value of this. But $60 million is not a bad figure either when you think about it over a decade of time.
Well, as a follow-up question or point, I think many of us, for better or for worse, in a position of comparing Alaska Railroad to the Alaska.
My name is Carol Como. I'm president of the Anchorage Education Association. AEA represents over 2,500 teachers in the Anchorage School District, and I'm also speaking on their behalf. I have been asked to speak on the behalf of Mick Wykus, president of the Kenai Peninsula Education Association and their 500 teachers. We strongly favor finality in the collective bargaining process, and both groups support House Bill 130. We feel it is critical that Alaska's teachers have the same right to collective bargaining finality as other public employees. Collective bargaining can be a positive process when it is successful, but too often it breaks down, drags on unnecessarily because there is no statutory way to resolve an impasse. Time and money is needlessly wasted on prolonged bargaining and attempts at voluntary impasse resolution. In Anchorage, I think 2 years ago, there was a survey where 89.9% of the community supported binding ARB over its right to strike. I would urge you to support House Bill 130 and allow Alaska's teachers to concentrate on instruction, not protracted collective bargaining. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm still in Anchorage. I'd like to hear testimony from the next person on my list, Lee Wilson.
Thank you. I'm Lee Wilson with the Office of Labor Relations in the Anchorage School District, representing that district in opposition to both House Bill 130 and House Bill 90. There is no objection. I'll begin with House Bill 130 because, as Representative Copeland rightly pointed out, it is the more controversial and more objectionable of the two bills. What that bill would do, essentially, is to place all school district employees under the teacher bargaining law 1967, 1425, 40 through 610, excluding those who are declared exempt, provide to all classified employees the statutory right to bargain. It would also create a new education employees labor relations agency, and best of all, or worst of all, provide binding arbitration access for all district employees and all bargaining. The school board in Anchorage is on record being opposed to any form of binding interest arbitration. That position was taken 4 years ago. The justification then and the justification now is that use of binding arbitration would constitute a fundamental abdication of local responsibility for controlling costs, which would be 85 cents of every dollar of public money we spend in providing educational opportunities to children, or personnel costs. Any limitation on the ability of a local board to control such costs dramatically affect the total laid out in public funds. Does one representing teachers, the other representing all other, quote, independent employee organizations, or whether there would in fact be two different negotiations, one with teachers and one with a team representing all other independent employees, or if each independent employee organization would bargain effectively with its own team, as is the case today. The Labor Relations Agency, interesting, there exists now a Labor Relations Agency in the Department of Labor under PARA, which is not binding on school boards. The creation of a new agency, however conciliatory the intent, however certain people might appear to be, that the creation of an outside watchdog agency would ensure smoothness and maintenance of a labor relations climate. Our experience is that, however conciliatory the intent, the use would actually be quite political. The right to file unfair labor practices, particularly in times of negotiations, there is no limit on how many could be filed. There is no penalty on those who make specious allegations in such forms. Could essentially encumber the process to an extent unheard of in the past, create enough bad press, and otherwise be utilized to put pressure on an employer to ensure a favorable settlement at the table. I haven't got much faith in such agencies. The success of the current labor relations agencies in enforcing PARA regulations on those affected has not been laudable in our judgment. And again, it would constitute one more step in the direction of giving to someone not newly elected to assume responsibility for controlling labor relations and the use of public funds and providing educational opportunities to a group of people politically appointed who do not have primary responsibility. We would object to that. Under House Bill 90, which, at least with respect to granting to classified employees statutory right to bargain, is quite similar to 130, but rather than placing all employees under the 67 teacher bargaining law, it would instead place all non-certificated school district or school board employees under current PARA. As you know, municipalities and school boards currently have the right to opt out from under the provisions of PARA. The reason they have that right, if you recall the initial discussion prior to the passage of that bill, because it was recognized then and it is still true today, that in the case of municipalities and school boards, there are locally elected bodies whose responsibility it is to determine the kinds of rights and privileges to be accorded to public employees. That is no different today than it was. The current Labor Relations Agency, which is a part of the PARA package, and classified employees, by the way, would be placed in Category 3, which would grant to them the virtually unlimited right to strike, which is rather novel. But the provision for that agency would create the kind of atmosphere that we fear would be established under House Bill 130 if a new agency was created. That is, it's an open invitation for bargaining groups to file unfair labor practices during times of negotiations to create, you know, public outcry. And unfortunately, in the labor relations business, there's the usual presumption of guilt. Where there's smoke, there's fire. If enough labor relations people are involved in reviewing allegations of unfair labor practice, there is generally the presumption that something is probably amiss, some heinous activity is underway and ought to be stopped. The press gets a hold of it, and all of a sudden employers are placed in a disadvantageous position, and it becomes increasingly difficult for them to bargain successfully and in good faith. There is no provision under 190 for binding arbitration, which makes the bill more palatable to us than 130. But I suppose our bottom line is, one, we object to being monitored by an outside agency. The current labor relations program in the Anchorage School District was designed and continues to function in conformity with policies established by locally elected representatives. And so long as it continues to do so, I think we'll probably stay out of trouble. We have a very good record in dealing with classified employees, and I suspect that will continue to be the case for some time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, I'd like to ask the future witnesses to please try to keep as concise as possible in your comments. We have several people, about 12 people left to testify today, and I'd like to try to get to all of them if possible. And I thank you for attempting to do that. I'd like to move move now to Matt Sue and Jess Lee.
Yeah, this is Jess Lee. I'm speaking on behalf of the Classified Employees Association of Matanuska-Sioux School District. I think at this time, after looking at the two bills, it would probably be the position of the Classified Employees Association that would support House Bill 130. I think that House Bill 130 is a good bill. I've had a lot of experience myself with binding arbitration. And really, binding arbitration is relatively new in the state of Alaska. It only goes back a few years. And I think if you look at the track record of decisions that have been handed down by binding or by arbitrators, you'll find that they haven't sold the farm, so to speak. What's incredible to me, and I think it's unfair to the classified people, is that you have a school board that's a policy writing body. And any problem, any grievances, or anything that arises from the policy that's been set forth by the school board, the board itself is the final relief within the Classified Employee Association here in this school district. I think that not only would it give the employee a fair way of resolving differences that arises from those policies, but it's also going to relieve some stress or whatever from the school board. I myself would hate to sit there and write a policy and then have an employee come before me with a grievance and have to make a decision on it. We're all human beings, and if I write a policy, I'm certainly going to be biased in my decision that I would hand down. I think that the last best offer also limits to what can and can't be done. It's also addressing that the arbitrator shall be from the state of Alaska, which does not create a great problem. I think there's some good arbitrators in the state of Alaska. I think that, again, the last best offer, you can only make a decision based on whatever the school district's offer is, or whatever the employee's offer is. And we would go on record to respectfully request that House Bill 130 be passed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Still in Matt Sue, Gary Brooks.
Thank you. My name is Gary Brooks. I'm president of the Valley Alliance of Labor and Union Employees. Our group certainly supports the concept of any employee group or bargaining unit to collectively bargain for their wages, hours, and terms of employment. Certainly both of these bills addresses the issue of all employees within the school district and gives them the right to collectively bargain, and further addresses the finality issue in the event an impasse is reached. So myself and the value group certainly support these bills and probably would speak in favor of 130 overnight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This time I'd like to move to Sitka and take testimony from Alan Bill.
I'm Alan Dill. I'm president-elect of NEA Sitka, and I'm representing our association. Back in the early 1970s, Sitka was the first school district in the state to have advisory arbitration. Governor Hammond appointed the first advisory arbitrator. At that time, our teachers were interested in a better system of finality and bargaining. In 1976, when I was president of NEA Alaska, finality and bargaining was the key issue. And now in 1985, when I'm president-elect of NEA Sitka again, I think that's still the major concern of most of our teachers. I think after 15 years, it's time to get the issue resolved. I think House Bill 130 is a good bill and would urge you to pass it.
Thank you very much. Dylan Sitka. I'd like to hear from Larry Bowman.
Yes, I'm Larry Bowman, and I'd like to thank you for having this opportunity to testify. In the last couple of years, I've been a member of the negotiating team with the district, and I've been very frustrated in that process because I spent a lot of time working up the proposals from the teacher standpoint, and I found that the district's response to these was simply no response. In other words, it was a total unwillingness to negotiate. And I think this is one of the reasons that we find superintendents from around the state professing to stick with what is working now, because definitely it does suit their interests to the best degree. They don't have to bargain. If they don't, we can go to advisory arbitration, which is what we're doing now. We can spend a lot of money, and they can ignore it. And I think this is absolutely wrong. We found a very wide division in our community among Chamber of Commerce people, among teachers, and among various other groups that have arisen over these very issues of negotiations. And I think if we had some sort of absolute binding arbitration where someone had to say, look, we're going to have to get down, we're going to have to settle this issue, let's make it reasonable and settle it. That's why I'm testifying so much in favor of House Bill 130. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to move now to Fairbanks and ask to hear testimony from Frank Betts. Frank Biltz.
Thank you. Frank Biltz is correct. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify before your committee, Representative Navar. First of all, I would like to agree with the previous comments of Representative Kopanen in the area of not forgetting about House Bill 90, although the testimony seems to support, and rightly so, House Bill 130. It was our experience last year in the Senate, for example, with Senate Bill 78, that the classified employees of the school districts were amended out of 78, and thus the bill, Senate Bill 104, which addressed the classified people, went on its own merits and passed the Senate 15-4. I am the business manager for the Classified Personnel Organization here in Fairbanks, and would just briefly like to testify to the need for statutory recognition for classified employees of school districts. The declaration of policy under PARA says that it is the intent or the public policy of the state to promote harmonious and cooperative relations between government and its employees. School districts, being a subdivision of government, certainly should not be exempt from that provision of the public policy of the state of Alaska merely because they were not addressed in 1971 or whenever PARA was enacted. There needs to be addressed for classified employees of school districts, statutory recognition for that bargaining. There needs to be a labor relations agency or some agency, whatever you want to call it, that umpires and provides dispute resolution to the problems that might be occurring in the collective bargaining process itself. And last but not least, there needs to be a finality to the process. And in both cases, with the teachers and with the classified people, the finality is conspicuously absent. Now, as to the two bills that are before you today, House Bill 90 and House Bill 130, we can and will support either one. The significant difference between the two being House Bill 90 provides for unlimited right to strike by classified employees of school districts. Well, 130, of course, as we all know, speaks to the interest arbitration or binding arbitration of dispute resolution. Lee Wilson, who testified previously, testified basically to the unfair labor practices and of the labor organizations using them to subterfuge or to cast all kinds of negative comments about the school district. I'd like to point out that under the law is designed to be as equal as possible for the employer and the employee, and that the unfair labor practices that are listed in PARA and referred to in House Bill 130 certainly address unfair labor practices on as far as employee organizations are concerned, as well as unfair labor practices that the employer might be involved in. But the law itself tries to address both the concerns of the employee and the employer on an equal basis, and equity can be provided if we can become statutory recognized for the collective bargaining process, have an agency that will umpire the disputes that may arise in that process, and finally provide finality for the bargaining process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now still in Fairbanks, I'd like to hear testimony from Mary Lou Brent.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Lou Brent, and I'm president of the Fairbanks Education Association, speaking on behalf of the association. Finality through arbitration has been one of the highest priorities of teachers for a long time. A number of bills have been introduced to address the issue. However, there is still no law which guarantees finality to the bargaining process. In Fairbanks, we did not settle our contract until December, the middle of December of 1984. We even went through a mediation process, again, without finality. In the absence of the right to strike, arbitration is necessary as the final step in the bargaining process. The Alaska Supreme Court decision states that administrators, counselors, and other certified staff may in fact have the right to strike, but teachers do not. This inequity is emphasized further by the fact that other public employees do have the right to strike under PARA. Finality through arbitration, then, is a must for teachers. We do like House Bill 130. Our concern with the current bill, however, has to do with the requirement of an Alaskan arbitrator. There are very few professional arbitrators in Alaska, and this puts an unnecessary restriction on both parties to mutually agree on an arbitrator, particularly if the arbitrator agreed upon is from outside of Alaska. We feel that that restriction should be removed. I do urge you to support House Bill 130. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Hanley?
Mary Lou, listening to your testimony, you were talking about other employee groups having the right to strike. The teachers do not have any finality in the bargaining process, therefore they should have binding arbitration. Would not the right to strike for teachers also represent finality in that process?
Yes, it would.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to go to Seward and Michael Robinson.
Thank you, Representative. I am speaking as the Vice President of the Kenai Peninsula Classified Employees Association, and I'm speaking specifically right now for the classified employees here in Seward. And we are, as stated before, custodians, the clerical workers, and also community school coordinators and kitchen help here at our Seward schools. We speak wholeheartedly in support of 130, and we feel that it is a step, not only a step in the right direction, but the right step to take for equality for the classified and the teachers here on the Kenai Peninsula. I don't think that perhaps we have been fairly represented, and I don't think the classified employees here in Seward and on the peninsula feel that the process is working. I believe we think actually it's broken and that it does need some mending, despite what comments we've heard from Dr. Pomeroy and similar comments from Mr. Wilson up in Anchorage. I think if the process has been working, then I certainly would not be here at this particular moment, and I'm sure Carol Como up in Anchorage would not be there talking, and Bob Brown over in Soldada, Jess Lee up in Mat-Su, all of us would not be here if we thought the process was working correctly. I think that classified employees definitely are not second-class citizens, and teachers definitely are not second-class citizens. Yet when it comes to the ability to negotiate our contract, we aren't given the fair, equal treatment that other employees are given. We are on the Kenai Peninsula are given what is called a meet and confer process, which means we get to sit there and talk to them, tell them what we want, and as
a member of the Ketchikan Education Association Executive Board, and I'm speaking for the Ketchikan Education Association. I would like to go on record for the Ketchikan Education Association in support of House Bill 130 for the following reasons. First of all, we feel that House Bill 130 provides finality for the bargaining process. Finality must be introduced into the bargaining process. Protracted negotiations are harmful to students, teachers, administrators, and boards. Students must deal with teachers upset by unresolved negotiations. Teacher morale suffers. Board-teacher relations plummet. Local administrators find their leadership role diminished and in some cases non-existent. In short, we feel protracted animosity continues until the issues are settled. Secondly, House Bill 130 achieves finality through binding arbitration. Binding arbitration as a last step will encourage both parties to settle their differences. For efficient negotiations, there must be positive motivation for each side to be reasonable and reach agreement. The concept of last best offer forces both sides to judge their positions within the eye of a neutral, reasonable arbitrator. Unlike public employees covered under PARA, who have specific remedies ranging from binding arbitration to the right to strike for resolving bargaining conflict, teachers are left with no definite means of achieving finality. We see ourselves in a legal limbo. We have no power to force a conclusion to the negotiations process. Most citizens in Ketchikan seem to agree, or I should say seem to favor giving teachers binding arbitration rather than the right to strike. Also, Ketchikan teachers, recognizing their responsibilities to students and community, endorse binding arbitration as the preferred process for achieving finality. We also feel House Bill 130 will not take away community power. The board will still have the opportunity to exercise local control as it does now through a hired negotiator, in this case from the state of Washington, and also outside consultants. They would continue local control and negotiations as they do now in situations such as the planning of school construction. Ketchikan police and firemen are covered under binding arbitration. This process seems to be working very well in Ketchikan. We are confident this process will work equally well for teachers. House Bill 130 provides the reality of arbitrators. They are conservative folks. They don't plow new ground. They might make situations equitable, but seldom go beyond this. Arbitrators must be reasonable. Neither side would be willing to accept an arbitrator with a proven bias for one side. Arbitrators, acceptable to both sides, would have to have a proven track record of clear thinking and impartiality. Also, we favor House Bill 130 because it provides for the Educational Employees Labor Relations Agency. We feel this is necessary to resolve challenges of unfair labor practices and to bring about dispute resolution. Thank you.